You know, I was reading an article the other day talking about January being one of the times during the year that people are just in a low place. You know, there's more depression during this time of year than any other time of year. There's a lot of overwhelmness during this time. I don't know if it's to get the Christmas bills or what, but the reality is that I think Christmas, there's a buildup to it, and there's a hope, and there's an optimism, and then January hits, and nothing's changed. And so if you're dealing with relational struggles and there's maybe a hope and optimism something will change and then January rolls around and it's back to the normal. If you're dealing with some habits or hang-ups or some stuff in your life that keeps complicating your life, maybe you could put it on hold for a season or maybe it was washed away within all the Christmas season, but then in January you find yourself right back in the same places, bringing the same consequences on your life, feeling that same sense of hopelessness. And this article is just kind of expanding on that. And so when, and this is like the 100th article I've read about January being that kind of month. And so what we wanted to do when we created this series is we wanted to do something that would give you some energy. And so this whole idea of refueling your life. And today I want to talk about the number one thing, the most important thing, the first thing that you have to do that. If you think in terms of filling up your gas tank, you know, sometimes you've got to get rid of some of the gunk that's in your gas tank for your car to run gray, right? So we're going to get rid of the gunk today. And the way we do that is through confession. One of the reasons we start every service, and Mike just led us through a confession time where we confess our sins and receive God's grace, is to kind of get rid of all that stuff that we've been carrying, to get strength to fight some of the battles that we know we need to fight, to reconcile some of those relationships that we know we could make the first step on, to actually move off center. But what so often happens is we just go back to default. We either cram it back inside and don't deal with it, or we keep doing the same dysfunctional things, or we pretend nothing's wrong, and we pretend. How are you doing today? Awesome, Pastor. This is like the best day ever. Is it? Is it? Everything's going great in your life? Is that true? It is for some people. They're in a good season right now. But if the studies are right, there's a lot of people struggling with stuff, but we pretend. And when we pretend, we don't deal with. And so today I'm going to start off with a story that's it's funny, but you might not think it's funny. But it's one of Pastor's jokes, so here you go. There's a preacher, and he got up to preach on the book of Genesis, and he had one of those loose-leaf Bibles, right? So it's like a three-ring binder, and it has sheets like this in it. And he starts this whole topic on the fall, and he says, and Adam said to Eve, and he turned the page, and he recognized it wasn't the right page, and so he got confused a little bit, so he started over, and he says, and Adam said to Eve, and he's kind of looking around, he says, very interesting, it looks like there's a leaf missing. Huh? Okay, so yeah, you know the story. That makes me feel good. Thanks for that pity laugh. I appreciate it. But anyway, that's what we're going to be talking about this morning, right? Missing fig leaves and the cover-ups that we so often do that keep us from dealing with the real stuff, from unburdening ourselves and moving toward peace. In other words, we're going to take a look at man's oldest problem today, this whole idea of pretending, this trap of pretending that keeps us smack dab where we are, that keeps us from moving forward, that keeps us from getting health, that keeps us from fruiting out sin, all those different things. So the Bible says the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and was pleasing to the eye and desirable for gaining wisdom. So she took it and she ate it and she gave some to her husband. And then the eyes of both of them were opened and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and they made coverings for themselves. And the man and his wife heard then the sound of the Lord walking in the garden, and they hid from the Lord. God came and said, where are you, Adam? As if he didn't know. And Adam said, well, I heard you walking in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. They just broken the only command God had given them, don't eat of this tree. I mean, that's like the one rule, don't eat of this tree. It will bring upon your death, both physical and spiritual, just don't eat of this tree. But they just ate of it. And for the first time in their lives, try to imagine this, they felt guilt. They felt the reality that they had done something God had commanded them not to do, and they were ashamed, and they were scared, and they tried to cover it up just like any good kid, three-year-old would, right? They tried to cover up the crime that they did, not knowing that in the cover-up they were exposing the exact thing that they had done. But they tried to pretend that everything was okay. They tried to pretend that it wasn't as bad as it seemed. And this is where, if you know the story, where intimacy and innocence was absolutely destroyed in our world. Watergate, the tobacco industry, even the Houston Astros had nothing on this cover-up that they were involved in. Again, listen to what it says. They hid themselves because they were afraid. They hid themselves from God. They covered themselves and hid themselves from each other. They put on clothes to camouflage themselves. It was way more than a physical cover-up. It was spiritual. It was emotional as well. Now, as I was reading that a few weeks ago, I wondered, you know, do we still struggle with this kind of thing today? I mean, do you think we still have this problem? Do we still hide ourselves from each other? Do we still hide our true feelings? Do we mask our mistakes? Do we disguise our weaknesses? Do we pretend that everything's okay? See, a fig leaf ultimately is anything that you use that covers up or hides something that you don't like about your life. It can be an educational degree, nice clothes, a car, a house, you name it. But we use these fig leaves to cover up our junk, our sin, our feelings, our fears, all those things. How are you doing this morning? We're doing great, Pastor. Yeah, I'm going to get divorced tomorrow, but we're doing great today. But the problem with all this is that it causes stress in our lives. When we're carrying it all by ourselves, it doesn't get better. When we bury it down deep, it doesn't go away. It causes insecurity. What if everybody else finds out the way I really am? I mean, maybe they won't like me anymore. It causes insincerity. I have to wear this mask and play the game so that nobody knows what I really think or what I really like. It causes isolation. Nobody in the world can imagine the way I feel right now. Nobody understands the way I feel. And that's just a con because there's tons of people that know exactly where you are right now. They've gone through the exact same things, that have experienced the exact same hurts, but we tell ourselves that nobody can know, and so we just do. We just bury it down deep so that we don't have to deal with it. And yet we hear a name or we experience a situation and right back in the midst of that hurt, reliving it again for the 1,000th time. Or we're right back in the midst of that habit that we know is complicating our lives, but we don't seem to be able to get free from it. And so how do you get to that new beginning? How do you get that fresh start? How do you get to the place where you can actually refuel your life and make it different moving forward, make it better moving forward? And God actually gives us stuff this morning, and he gives us three things that we absolutely need to take seriously. And the only way you're going to get anything out of this message is if you take this stuff seriously. And the first thing he says is this: you need to admit it to yourself. And this is why: for understanding. Proverbs 28, verse 13, it says, "He who conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy." When you read that, can you feel the exhale when it says, "And anyone who confesses and renounces them finds mercy"? You're letting it go. You're letting God do his thing and forgive. You're letting God heal. You're letting God free you from your past. You're letting him in. I keep talking about this imaginary table in my sermons, right? And you have to take what's inside that you haven't been dealing with, that you've been pretending isn't there, all that kind of stuff. And you got to put it on the table so you can actually deal with it. It's like when my daughter would have these nightmares. I said, "We got to talk about it." "I don't want to talk about it." "We got to talk about it." Because when we start talking about it, it releases its power over you. And we can begin to deal with it, and God can begin to heal it. We need to admit it to ourselves. In other words, it says, don't cover up, don't pretend, admit it to yourself. The greatest holdup to your hangups in this life is you, and it's me. We tend to pretend that everything's okay, though, and as a result, nothing seems to change, which is why January, I think, is such a down month for so many people. And yet we can't work on a problem, and God can't help us with the ones that we have until we actually admit the ones we have. If you use this imagery of the table, if you can put it on the table, you can start kind of massaging it and wrapping your mind around what's happening, and you can see what you're doing, and you can see the counterproductiveness of what you're doing, and maybe you can even see some of the whys. It's important that we understand that stuff and we can give it to God so that he can actually heal and release us from those things. But man, do we have excuses. "I'll just ignore it and it will go away." Anybody heard that one? Or we justify it with euphemisms. "I just love the taste of food." Translation, "I have an uncontrollable appetite." Or, "I'm just a laid-back person." Translation, "I'm lazy and irresponsible." We have all kinds of different sayings to rationalize or to justify. It's just a stage. It'll get better. It's not really a problem. As long as you say that, though, you never grow. As long as you keep bearing it back down, you never change. But personal honesty is the foundation for personal happiness, always. Admit it to yourself. Again, the scriptures say, "The one who conceals his sin does not prosper." Again, from 1 John 1:8. "If we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Notice what it says. If we don't admit that we have sin in our lives, and by the way, sin is more than just actually doing something wrong towards somebody else. It's worrying and stressing and fearing, which is the absence of trust. It's resentment and anger, which means the absence of forgiveness. It's all the stuff that we wrap ourselves up with. Think about it, the worry and the stress and the fear and the anger and the resentment that we hold that keeps coming back, and we relive those moments over and over, and it keeps us in pain and it keeps us from moving forward. And that's not even to mention all the counterproductive stuff we do. You go to Scripture and you see that this is true of everybody, though. Ecclesiastes says there's not a man on earth that never sins. In James 3, it says we all stumble in many ways. Paul says again in Romans, we've all sinned. It's a reality that's true for all of us. So the Bible says, he who conceals his sin does not prosper, but he who confesses and renounces them. Again, feel the exhale, finds mercy. There's something about the letting go of that stuff, isn't there? There's something about of releasing that to God. There's something about giving it to him and hearing those words, you're forgiven. It frees you from that stuff that keeps you in bondage, that keeps you doing the same things, that keeps you from forgiving, that keeps you stewing and doing. When you have a problem, the correct response is not ignoring it then, but exploring it. When you have a hurt, you don't just ignore it, you explore it. You ask yourself, why do I continue to act this way? Where are these feelings coming from? You admit it to yourself. The Bible again says, with humility comes wisdom, which is the opposite of the world. The world will say, with arrogance comes, we'll do whatever we want, right? No matter what Scripture says, if I feel like I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it with arrogance. I'm going to tell everybody else that it's right. With humility comes wisdom. In our world today, because there's such an absence of truth, it's almost like we're in New Testament times where Pilate says, truth, what is truth? Because everybody's got their own version of truth. But truth is Scripture. Truth is God's word. And it's humbling ourselves to that truth, to his words that give wisdom. It helps us see why our lives are broken, because you can usually draw a direct line between the brokenness and the sin. Between the worry and the sin, right? Between the things that we're struggling with, the pain and the hurts and the sin. Ask yourself, why do I continue to do these things? But as you do, you begin to understand why it is that you're doing those things. But that's not enough. It's not enough just to play with the stuff on the table. You got to go to the second step, which is this. Admit it to God, and this is why, for forgiving. That forgiving idea is then God healing the stuff on the table and taking it off the table and throwing it away. Not putting it back inside of you, but throwing away and getting rid of it. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, and here's his promise, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. In other words, it says admit it to God and experience that release, that forgiveness, that renewal. The three most difficult words, though, in the English language are, I have sinned, or another way to say that is, I was wrong. How many of you guys like to say that? I was wrong. I don't see any hands. The other three most difficult words or difficult set of words is, I need help, because we think we can do it all by ourselves. I think a key example of this in Scripture, of this kind of transparency, of this kind of authenticity is Paul. The thing about Paul that was crazy is, man, not only was he brutally and painfully honest about his weaknesses, he shared it for all posterity, for everybody who reads the Bible, for thousands and thousands of years after him. I mean, we all know what his issues were. We all know that he was messed up and broken. So why did he share them? So we could learn from him. So we could hear God's promise and his answer to Paul as he healed him up from every single one of those. Listen to what he says in Romans 7:15. Paul says, I don't understand myself at all. I really want to do what's right, but I can't. I do what I don't want to do, what I hate. And I know perfectly well that what I do is wrong, and my bad conscience proves that I agree with the laws that I'm breaking, but I just can't seem to help myself. No matter which way I turn, I can't make myself do right. I want to, but I can't. When I want to do good, I don't. When I try not to do wrong, I do it anyway. You ever felt that way? You ever continue to do something you knew was counterproductive to your life? Having that eighth serving on Thanksgiving, or you know, or whatever it is, or playing Madden football when your wife's already mad at you. I mean, you're doing stuff that's counterproductive. You know it's wrong. You know it's causing you consequence, but you just can't seem to stop. You can't seem to turn. Paul was just amazingly honest about his hang-ups as you go through Scripture. And essentially he says, God, what do I do now? This is me. How do I get to the other side? How do you help me in this? And God comes to him and he shares with him this answer in Romans 8:1. He says this to Paul and to us. There is now no condemnation awaiting those that are in Jesus Christ. Every time we come to him, he's not like, you ever confess something, you know, apologize to somebody and they don't forgive you? Kind of lord it over you. Maybe they're not ready to because they're still mad, or maybe they want to lord it over you for a while, or manipulate you for a while or whatever. But it's so painful and hurtful when that happens. You're finally laying yourself bare. You know you're wrong. They know you're wrong. You've confessed it and they won't forgive you. God never does that. He always forgives. In the next second, he always wraps you up with his arms of love, saying, I got you. We'll get through this. We'll get you to the other side. I forgive you. We're good. His promises are meant to experience that exhale, experience that release from the past, experience that freedom and that strength to move forward differently. So what's the correct response to a problem, to a hang-up, to a sin? It's you confess it to God. Admitting a weakness to yourself brings understanding. Admitting a weakness to God brings forgiveness. Forgiveness that Jesus won for you on the cross. And I guess if we were stronger, if we were just a little bit better, we could just stop there and say, man, Jesus forgave us. We're good. This is awesome. I don't worry anymore. I don't stress anymore. I don't hold resentment against anymore. I don't sin anymore. This is amazing. But we're not quite that strong. And so he gives us a third step. In James 5:16, it says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. See, the third principle here is you admit it to others for healing. Now, does that mean I go out into the street and I broadcast all of my sin? Do we make that video of Pastor's Worst of 2022 and I show it to everybody so that you can relate to me and that I'm a sinner just like you guys? No, it doesn't mean that. But it does mean that everybody needs at least one person in their life that they can be absolutely brutally honest with. Unfortunately, I don't know if that's always true. I can't tell you the number of times I've had somebody sit in my office and tell me, Pastor, I've never shared this with anyone before. And I know whenever I hear that, something amazing is about to happen because they're finally putting it on the table. They're releasing that burden and now they're sharing it with another person. They're beginning to get now some control over the thing that's kept them in bondage, whether that be a sin, whether that be the resentment or whatever the deal is that they're struggling with. But I know something amazing is going to happen because it's the first step of finally dealing with that issue, finally bringing change into your life so that this new year, this next part of your life can be better, different, unencumbered by all the brokenness of the past. When you begin to talk about something with some other person, you begin to control it. Revealing your feelings, somebody once said, is the beginning of healing, and I agree with that. In fact, just think about it. Let me ask you this. Do you like being around people who are real, who are genuine, who aren't trying to pretend like they've got it all together? The usual answer to that is, yeah, we like being around those people. I mean, we don't have to work so hard or whatever. Because people who are pretending or, you know, are competing with us, and you share this amazing thing about your kid or about your spouse, and they got to one-up you, and so it feels like it's a tug of war. They can't be happy with your experience. They've got to compete with you. Or they're already pretending that they've got something else going on. It's always a lot easier to get to know people that are genuine. They've been through hard times and they're not trying to pretend anymore. You guys are probably just too tired. They know where they've been, they know where they're headed, and as a result, they're just a lot easier to be around. We get them better. We understand them. They're like us. See, intimacy comes from sharing weaknesses, not strengths. The best sermon illustrations are sharing with you something that I've done that I've just blown it and God's healed it, not something that I've just jammed on and conquered. And why is that? Because you need to know that God can forgive you no matter what you did. I mean, sharing this amazing thing that God did over here, I mean, you start thinking, well, that's unattainable, but sharing the weakness we all get. One of the most amazing supports in my life is my wife. And I know there's a difference. I was single for a long time, but I can share everything with her. And that gives me somebody to share my stuff with. And it releases its power over me. And I don't have to stew and do it and keep it all inside. I can share it with her and we can work through struggles together and we can get to the other side. And then one of the coolest things that she does is she always points me back to God. And you would think that would need to be something that would happen because I'm a pastor, but I worry too and I stress too and I get fearful too and I get mad too. And She has this ability to keep pointing me back to the God who forgives and renews and strengthens, and it helps. Every one of us needs somebody in our life that we can share that with so that we can hear these words. God forgives you, and he loves you. You know, in seminary, we don't have the little boost like the Catholic Church, right, where you go in and you confess your sins, but that confession and that forgiveness or absolution, they call it at seminary, is a huge fundamental part of our church, because there's something about, and Luther knew this, hearing the words, you're forgiven. Hearing the words, God still loves you. Hearing the words, because of Jesus, you've been reconciled to the Father. Hearing the words, God will give you the strength to get through this next season in your life. Sometimes reading it doesn't do it. Sometimes even coming to communion doesn't do it. But sometimes hearing those words from another person pierces through. On the other hand, one of the greatest sources of stress in our life is trying to pretend. Trying to keep stuffing it down so that we don't have to deal with it. One of the most devastating questions I've ever heard asked was this: what are you pretending not to know right now? What are you pretending? That's really the original cover-up, isn't it? It started with Adam and Eve way back in the day, and ever since then we've been putting on fig leaves. I don't have a problem. It's just a stage. I can get through it. I don't need any counseling. I don't need any help. I don't need to admit it to myself. I don't need to confess it to God. I certainly don't need to talk about it to anybody else. But again and again, you go to the scripture and you see God says, the way that I healed your hidden hang-ups is through admitting it to yourself, through admitting it to me, and through admitting it to other people so that they can pray for you and talk to you so that the healing can begin. See, the value, if you go back to this invisible table, is you put it out there so you can begin to understand the messed upness that is, you know, that's you dealing with real things. And then God comes in and he shares his promises and his words of forgiveness, and he begins to heal that. And when you share that with a third person, when God takes it away and throws it away, it helps keep it there. I was just talking to somebody before church, and she's like, I came in and I was a little down this morning. And she goes, but I just have to remember, God's got it, right? He forgives me. He's got it. I just have to remember. And I said, I think that's the value of church when you boil it all down. Church helps us remember that God's still there, that he still got us, that we're still forgiven, that his promises are still real. Man, do we need those remembrances? Because our greatest gift, it seems to be, is forgetting. And the church is supposed to be a hospital for sinners. Not a hotel for saints, but a hospital for sinners. I don't know where all the judginess in the church came from. It doesn't make any sense. Judginess comes from maximizing other people's sins and minimizing your own, right? When somebody shares their sin, you know what should be our response? Compassion, empathy. Here's a fellow struggler. We may be struggling in a different sin, a different area, but they're struggling too. And they're confessing it, saying that they're wrong and that God's right and that they need his help. We should be wrapping them up with our arms of love and loving on them, loving them back to Christ's love, loving them back to his power. And I pray that happens more and more in our church. So I challenge you this morning. I want you to take the first step. If you want to refuel your life, right? If you want to start over and start at the beginning, when you get out all that gunk so we can fill it with good gas, right? This whole idea of refueling. You got to come face to face with yourself first. You got to stop pretending and deal with what is. Personal honesty is always the key to growth spiritually, emotionally, physically. It is the foundation for personal happiness. Ask yourself, what is it in my life that I'm trying to make excuses for? What is it in my life that I'm trying to rationalize or justify or pretend that I really don't know is there? What's my fig leaf? I mean, let's call it what it is. Call a problem, but admit it. Because it's only when you admit it to yourself that you can actually begin to understand what's going on, why you keep facing these same situations over and over and over. Then admit it to God. That's confession. Let's call it what it is. That's what Paul did. He said, I want to do what's right, but I can't. There are areas of my life that I just feel trapped. Paul could do that. He could say that, can't you? Absolutely. The Bible says, he who covers up his sin shall not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them shall find mercy. Exhale. When somebody forgives you, do you feel the peace? Do you feel the weight being released? Do you feel all that baggage that you've been carrying around? Do you feel it let go? there's a tangible sense when you're truly forgiven, when you truly let God forgive you, there's a tangible sense of freedom that comes as a result. I can do life differently. I don't have to be in bondage to this thing anymore. I can overcome this. And all of a sudden, you feel that strength and you feel that power to do differently. You even feel the motivation that the Spirit gives us to get rid of that stuff that's held us in bondage for so long. The Bible says again, he who covers up his sins shall not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them shall find mercy. If we confess our sins to God again, here's the promise, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then lastly, find another person that you can be absolutely honest with, that you can share life with. Again, I'm so grateful for my wife, but I would challenge you to find that person. And if you're married, and I say this with sadness, but if you're married, get rid of the fig leaves between the two of you. Stop hiding stuff from one another and be this resource. You've already committed your life to them. You're stuck, right? So share life with them. The craziest thing about my wife is she knows all of my garbage and I know all of hers and we love each other anyway. It's extraordinary. I don't get it, but I love it. And feeling loved even in the midst of the mess that I am gives me a glimpse of God's love for me as well. Galatians 6:2, it says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Share each other's burdens. That's the love of God in action. Not in judginess, but in empathy and compassion, leading them to the forgiveness and the strength and to the power of God. So once again, I encourage you today to throw away your fig leaves, to be transparent with yourself and with God and with others in your life. Stop trying to pretend that you're somebody that you're not, because the reality is God already knows how messed up you are. That's, to be honest, why he sent us Jesus. The Bible says that God so loved the world despite its sin, that he sent his one and only son into the world so that it would not perish because of its sin, but have what? Everlasting life. Hear me say, God loves you exactly the way you are. But he also loves you way too much to let you stay that way. Again, that is why he sent us Jesus. That's why Jesus kept going and made his way to the cross, despite knowing how messed up we were. He did it so that we could have life, so that we could have freedom, so we could have that release, so that we could find a sense, snippets of God in heaven on this earth, and be reassured with confidence in the one to come. This is the way you start over. This is the way you truly begin to reach fuel and to recharge. You got to get rid of the stuff that's hindering. You got to get rid of the stuff that keeps complicating. You got to get rid of the resentment. You got to get rid of that stuff to free you to live in today, to move forward with his power. And my prayer is that God releases you from that today. We pray that in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let me pray. God, we love you so much. And you know, as we go through this series, Lord, my prayer is that, I don't know, that we can just grab our hands around this and do this first step. Just give stuff to you. I don't know why we hold it. I don't know why we stuff it down. I know there's shame involved. I know there's worry involved. I know there's stress and resentment involved. I know there's just this pride and stubbornness involved. I know all that stuff, but it's keeping us in bondage and it's keeping us from experiencing life as you have it designed. It's keeping us from knowing that peace, and it's keeping us from knowing that joy, and it's keeping us from experiencing that freedom that you have for us. So Father, give us the strength today to give you those things one by one. And as we do, just give us freedom. Release us from that anger and help us forgive. Relieve us from that bondage to whatever sin that continues to complicate our lives and give us people that can hold us accountable and help us overcome those areas. Give us freedom from the past, Lord, from things that people have said, the things that people have done. Help us experience that forgiveness for them the way that you would give us that forgiveness in our lives. And that's our prayer today. Because with that comes freedom, and with that comes peace. And that's our prayer today. We pray it in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.